Hallelujah. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8, so if you have your Bible, you can turn there and get ready. But I want to tell you something, that God's glory, the Bible says in the last days, His glory will fill the earth. And what is His glory? His glory is His presence, right? In His glory, there's so much that can happen. And sitting in this room, right now, we have experienced God's glory. I said, we've experienced it. I mean, tonight, yes, and in the past, in greater degrees, in lesser degrees, we've experienced God's glory. But we need to be expecting God's glory in a greater capacity, because we have no other answer for the world but then God showing up in His presence and manifesting Himself so that people's needs can be met. Right? Come on. Some of us might be a little more mature than others, and it's like, well, maybe it's too late, or maybe I'm too this or I'm too that. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. Come on. And it's about His glory, and we are carriers of the glory of God. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. But we have to have an expectation. Come on, absolutely, Zach. We have to have an expectation that God is going to use us. When David said it this way, man, Lord, when I open my mouth, You fill it. Right? Come on. I just want to stir you up a little bit, because sometimes we can get in the rut and we can just get to the place where, yeah, God moved back then, or God did this or God did that. Well, God's not a back then God. He's a right now God. Come on. He's a tonight God. Come on. He delivers those that are oppressed. He heals those that are sick. He brings revelation to the body of Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be talking about the fact that you and I, and we're going to finish up Romans chapter 8, but we're going to talk about the fact that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We often talk about Paul and what an amazing and awesome apostle of God that he was. But Paul was just a man like you and I who was filled with the Holy Ghost. And so Paul didn't have more revelation from God because he was more special than you are. He had revelation from God because he went after it. He wanted to live in the glory of God. And when they didn't like it and they threw him out, he went to get by himself and said, I got to find this Jesus who knocked me off my donkey. I've got to find this Jesus. If nobody else finds him, if they don't take me here, if they don't, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I want you. I want revelation of you. Right? But he didn't stop there. In Ephesians, he prayed. He said, Lord, I'm praying for these since I've heard of their faith, since I've come to the place where they know Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Lord, I've come to the place where I want them to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of you. Right? That's not so that you have a PhD that you can hang on to the wall. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what it means is that I know God because He's made Himself known to me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, I'm talking about the glory of God. I'm talking about an expectation for us to begin to have so that we can walk in it. Yes. Because out there, they need it. Yes. Never before, I'm refusing to get involved in the pessimism that's almost come upon the body of Christ. Because I am not a part of the world. I'm a part of the body of Christ. Jesus is my Lord and He's made me something. Glory to God. I'm just opening up and I haven't even started yet, okay? We're going to look at a particular verse and then come back to it. But go to verse Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In all these things, we're going to discuss that in just a minute. But it says that we're more than conquerors. But it's not that we are more than conquerors. It's that we are more than conquerors in Him or through Him because of Him, because of who He is and because who He's made us to be, that we're more than conquerors. I thought it was interesting, and so I looked up the word conqueror, and many of you can kind of picture it, but get this in your mind. It says that a conqueror is one who wins a country in a war. He subdues or subjects a people and overcomes an adversary. It's one who wins a war, one who subdues the people that he's fighting against, and then he subjugates those people to him. That's a conqueror. We're not conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Through Jesus. Why? Because He whipped the devil. Not He's going to whip the devil. He did whip the devil. Right? And when we stand up in Him, that makes us more than conquerors. We haven't just conquered. We've dominated. We've dominated. Come on. We've dominated. It's not a fair fight. Years ago, I in high school, I played basketball, and got pretty efficient at playing basketball. But I'd go to basketball practice at the gym in high school, and then I'd come home, and I had this friend of mine who was younger than me. His name was Greg Proback, and Greg, man, he wanted to learn and he wanted to play basketball. So every night after I got home from school, I'd been playing basketball. We went to, and excuse this French, but it's not really French, but we had a neighbor, we called him Skinny Butt. And Skinny Butt had a basketball court that was, because his dad had a detached double car garage with a big wide cement, and a hoop up there. So every afternoon at whatever time it was, Greg and I would go there. And I mean day after day after day after day. And Greg was younger than me, but I said, okay, Greg, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play one-on-one. That means we're going to play against each other. We're going to play to 10 by 1 point. I'm going to spot you 9 points. I'm going to spot you 9 points. We're going to play to 10. I never lost. I never lost. But watch this. Why? Because I was much superior to him in skill and in size. I didn't just conquer him. I obliterated him. Now watch this. He went on to become a much better basketball player than I ever thought about being. He even went a college scholarship and even coached basketball. But I met him years later. He said, that's where I learned to become a basketball player. Now, what I'm saying is listen, when we're up against the devil, even the adversary who's trying to bring us down and make us look like we're defeated, the reality is, if we'll see ourselves in Christ Jesus, we're more than a conqueror. Come on, we're more than a conqueror. It's not a competition. Because Jesus has already paid the price for us, and we're not coming at our adversary on our own initiative, but we're coming after him in the name of Jesus. Yes. Woo! Glory to God. I'm more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Go back to verse 31. Now listen to this. This is so incredible. He says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now let me ask you a question. tonight, and I want you to really think about this in your heart and then answer it in your heart, and then I'm hoping to get you to the right answer by the time we're through. Is God for you? Is God for you? Do you really, really, really believe that? Is He for you? Most of us pray like He's not. Most of us live our lives out under condemnation because we don't really believe that He's for us. Glory to God. But when you get a revelation that God is for me, it establishes some things. God is not my problem. He's my answer. God is for me. Come on, tonight I want you to know, God is for you tonight. No, Pastor, He's for you because you're holy and you are all of this and you know, you pray more than I do, you read more than I do, you do. See, none of that qualifies me to be in a position for God to be for me. None of it. None of it. Nothing that I've done qualifies me for that. In fact, let's just look at this for just a second. Glory to God. Oh, this is so good. Verse 32. For He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? This verse is the answer to why God is for us. Remember, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who did He do that for? Everybody. Everybody that you met, everybody that you've ever known, anybody that you've read about in history, from Adam on down, He did that for.
Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Jesus.
So if you have to, think of the worst person you know and say to yourself, I'm better than they are, so He must love me too, right? But because we know that He loves us, right? Come on. This is so good. God is for me. Why? Because He who did not spare His own Son. How could God be for me, or not be for me, if He paid such a price for me? Now watch this. He who did not spare His own Son, the word spare there, is delivered over for suffering.
Thank you, Jesus.
God in heaven said, we got a problem. Man messed up. Of course, He knew it before anything happened. I don't get all of that, but right, He knew it. But He said, we got a problem, but we have a solution. I want man. I created them in my image. I created them for fellowship, and I want them. Even though at some point they've rejected me or walked away from me, I'm going to go get them back. I'm going to go get them back. And the way that we're going to do that, son, is that I'm going to deliver you up to take their punishment so that they can be right with me. Glory to God. I'm not right with God because I've done enough. I'm not right with God because I prayed enough. The only reason that I'm right with God is I believe what He said. Tonight, do you believe what He said? If you believe what He said, then you have to absolutely know that God is for you. But watch this. This is so motivating to me. God is not just for me. He's for you. But He's not just for you because you're here listening to me. He's for everyone. There's no one that's too far gone. There's no one who's done enough that God doesn't want to reach. He needs us to get assurance that that's who we are. So that when we face them, we can say, hey, what you've done, what you've been through is not too big for God. Let me just ask this thought and put this thought out there. Who have you given up on? Who have you quit praying for? Who have you quit believing for because they've fell 10 times, 20 times? They're getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Watch. They're just one experience with the Holy Spirit of changing it all around. Changing it all around. We talked about the glory of God. I have been personally involved and seen where the glory of God was in manifestation, and somebody came in high, drunk, and full of just heaviness. But they sat under the glory of God and they were delivered instantly. They went out different than they came in. Is that just a dispensation for somebody else, somewhere else? Or, well, we had that time in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, but we're too old for that now. No, 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 no. Because the same God who changed you and I wants to change them. And it doesn't matter, even if we're sitting in here with stuff, everybody's got stuff. Everybody's got issues. If you don't believe that, just ask somebody sitting next to you. Everybody has got issues. But in our issues, God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for your issues. Glory to God. Lord, I don't have to be perfect because I'm not. And the moment I try to pretend to, I just pull the wool over your eyes and my eyes, and I'm not real anymore. But when I get real with myself and I can look you in the eye and say, look, I know you got problems, but it's not too big for the God who did not spare His own Son. Woo! God is for me. Why? Because I know the price He paid for me. I know the price He paid for you. And if He paid that price, then all you are is a decision away from God changing everything. It says, but He delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely? Everybody say freely. We're living in a time where everyone's everything free. Just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But watch this. God set it up so that we should expect Him to freely give us, without reservation, without condition, give us all things. What are all things? Everything Jesus produced on the cross. When you read something in the New Testament that says, in Him, we live and we move and we have our being. Come on, I'm in Him. I live and I move and I have my being. He said that He'd give to me the peace that passes all understanding. Look, He'll freely give that to me. He'll freely give that to me. I said, He'll freely give that to me. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. Is God for you tonight?
Yes.
He's for us. I said He's for us. He prayed. I mean, He paid the price with Jesus. And everything is ours. Everything Jesus produced is mine and is yours. When? Why is it now? Exactly right. Because it's already been done. Come on. Faith says, He said it, He did it, so it's mine now. I don't pray, God, oh God, 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 if you've got a second, and it's not too hard for you, You know how bad I am, God. If it's not too hard for you, could you please, you know how bad I was. But God, could you forgive that sin that I committed 10 years ago that I've talked to you about 1,000 times? I'm not God. But if I was God, I'd say, stand up a minute. I'd slap you on both sides of the face. Didn't I already tell you that I'm faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from every stain that's associated with it? We need to pray and we need to stand from the standpoint of the finished work of Christ, not from the doubt in our heart that what He did applies to me. Come on. Come on. I'm painting a picture here. I'm painting a picture here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on. God, you didn't spare Jesus, but you delivered me. You delivered me. You gave me freely everything that Jesus produced. I have His love. I have His nature. I have His ability. I am now a temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in me. He lives in me. Now watch this. Verse 33. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Who? I'll tell you, the only one who can do it and make it cause and effect in your life is you. Right. Right. Satan can't, because he's got to talk to God about it. Right? When condemnation comes to you and you've repented of the act that's bringing the condemnation, you have to see yourself as in the courtroom, and you have to see yourself before Almighty God, and God's looking at you and looking, and the prosecutor, the devil's coming. You know what he did. And your only plea is, I plead the blood. And the judge goes, case dismissed. The prosecutor, but I, case dismissed, you're out of order. You're out of order. But if you walk away from being vindicated, you walk away from being acquitted, and you walk around like you're still guilty, then you'll not freely live in the redemption that He's purchased for you. Come on. Why? That's right. That's right. You know, others may see me the way I used to be. Others may even see me through some of my mistakes. And others might see me and view me because I didn't do this right, or I didn't do that right, or you know, I fell a bunch of times, or all of that. And if I listen to them, I'll never get into what God has for me. And the reality is other people out there need you and me to stand up in who we are in Christ Jesus so that they can see an example of what God can do with somebody who will submit to Him. Glory to God. So when I go to pray for somebody, right? When I go to pray for somebody, I'm not going in there because I'm Pastor Bruce and I've got a card and I'm the most holy, reverend, right, Bruce, you know, whatever, apostle, bishop, whatever. That's who I am. So when I come in, I'm going to have the robe on. I'm going to have the call. And I may have some people following me just because I'm that special. And the reality is none of that matters. None of that matters. What matters is that God didn't spare His own Son, but delivered Him up so that I could freely have the anointing up of the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. Paul said it this way. He said, man, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come with you trying to show you how smart I was. I didn't come to you with my ability to persuade you. I came with the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because that is the power of God unto salvation. right? Jesus loves you, spoken with somebody who knows that, to somebody who needs that, is powerful. It's hope-giving. It's life-giving. Come on, are you with me?
Yes.
Tonight, come on. Is God for you? I said, is God for you? Glory to God. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God who makes intercession for us? How many have ever felt like Jesus is just mad at you? Come on. How many have ever felt like, man, I let him down so much? Come on, God. You can't. I'm so pathetic. You can't, right? I mean, I've felt that way. I've had the devil speak to me that way. And I've done some dumb things. But listen, if God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, what's your opinion stacked up to his? And just think about this for a minute. Jesus and God are having a conversation. And they look down at Bruce. And Jesus says, oh, Father, I guess it didn't work. I guess it didn't work. I mean, he's just too tough of a nut to crack. No. No, but that's the message that we're allowing ourselves to feed on when we stand under condemnation, when we don't understand that who is he who can condemn me if God has already produced a sentence of not guilty? Come on! Woo! Glory to God, I'm telling you. I'm free from the spirit of condemnation. Michelle and I were listening to Lauren Daigle's song, You Say This, just a few minutes ago. Come on. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Right? And you go through that. But you say, God, you say, this is what you say. I'm going to start walking in what you say rather than what I hear. Because some of us are walking around listening to voices that we heard when we were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You're not enough. You'll never measure up. Who do you think you are? Who in the world do you think you are? Well, have you got a minute? Well, it's going to take more than a minute. Because you really want to know who I am? I am dead to myself. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, do you want to hear about it? I live by my faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. And because I'm now living in him, right, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a partaker of the divine nature of God. You want to hear who I am, who I think I am? I don't think I am. I know I am because he said I am. I am who he says that I am. And here's the great news. I'm not saying that from a position of my superiority. I'm saying it under the cloak of his wings because this is who he's made me to be. Ha ha! Woo! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Even when I try to condemn myself, if I'll get into the presence of God, he'll say, I love you. He'll say, I love you. I just got to share this, and it fits into this. You know, I've received words from the Lord over the years, and other people, you know, will say things like this. You know, God is proud of you. God is pleased. God, that wasn't an angel, I mean, but she is kind of. But watch this. God is pleased with you. God loves you. And in my heart, just be honest with you, in my heart, I'm going, that's not possible. How can God be pleased with me? I failed so much. I haven't done everything I'm supposed to do. I haven't been everything. I haven't produced the fruit that I should have produced yet. I'm not. How could God say that? Because He's not looking at me through me. He's looking at me through the blood of Jesus. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It'll never, never, never lose its power. Come on. Have you been washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Have you been washed? Then who's condemning you? It's not God. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction to your heart, but it's to lead you out of the damaging behavior that's trying to keep you from receiving all that God has for you. But He's never bringing you into condemnation. We know the most famous verse in the Bible is, for God so loved the world, and Jesus is speaking this, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him would have eternal life, would not perish but have eternal life. But then He goes on in the very next verse, and He said, I did not come. Tonight, I want you to get this. Jesus is saying to you, I did not come to Scott. I didn't come to Joseph. I didn't come to Marvin. I didn't come to Michelle. On and on, Justine. I didn't come to them to condemn them. But they might have life. Eternal life. That life-giving spring that comes from your spirit in and washes over your mind and has an effect on the rest of your life. That spirit might be in you. Who is he who condemns? Get out of here, sucker. I don't belong to you. I don't listen to you. You're a liar. You're the accuser. But I have been redeemed. For I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Come on. He lives. He's alive. Woo! Years ago, watch this. This is back in like 1981, 80, somewhere in that range. I think it was 80. But we did a choir, as a choir in a church that I was going to, we did the song, It Is Finished. And it is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. Come on. Jesus has already finished the battle. We're not standing as people who are waging a war that hasn't already been won. Because Jesus did it. And watch this. Jesus who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God. Is Jesus at the right hand of God? Where are you? Come on. He said that we're seated with Him in heavenly places. Right? Whoever makes intercession for us. Now, people have taught this, and I guess there's an application here where He's ever talking to the Father about us. But really, what I think is the finished work of Him is the go-between between us and God. And that intercession is always present before Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. Don't talk to me. Remember years ago, not that many years ago, but years ago, the kids would say, talk to the hand. Remember that? It used to drive me crazy. Talk to the hand. I'll give you the hand. Talk to the hand, right? Talk to the hand. But when the devil comes up to, we should talk to the blood. Come on, talk to the blood. Don't talk to me. Yeah, talk to the blood. Come on. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Woo! Verse 35. I hope you're getting something because I'm preaching me happy. Amen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall? Who can? Who is able to undo what Jesus did on the cross? Who has that power? Who has the power to unredeem you? Who? No one. No one tonight. No one. Because I'm living in the finished work of Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? How many like tribulation? Isn't it fun? Yeah, it's just a gas. Or persecution? Or distress? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? Look at this. You know what this is saying? You're in Christ, but you're still in the earth. And what does that mean? You're going to go through stuff.
Amen.
You're going to go through stuff. And even now, I let my mind go for a while to the point of, well, Lord, they're talking bad about us. They're now saying that everything that we believe is bad and wrong and blah, 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 blah. And what about my brother? What about my sister? What about my family? What about my nieces and nephews that are really thinking that I'm a hater, that I'm evil? And I just a couple of days ago, I came to myself and said, wait a minute. What are you meditating on? Meditate on the fact that God loves you, that God is for you, that God is with you, and whatever comes, even if they hate you, even if they, you know, God is with me. God is for me. And at the end, if I stand and don't compromise in what I believe, I'm believing that my example to them will be an avenue for the door for them to come to see who Jesus is. Are you with me? But I can't keep my eyes on the persecution. I can't keep my eyes on the famine. I can't keep my eyes on how bad things are getting. I can't get my eyes on just how bad, and oh man, this one got elected, and oh man, the whole United States is going down, and who cares? Will it cause us to maybe suffer a little bit? Who cares? Because my eyes aren't on this world. My eyes are planted on the one who saved me, who redeemed me, who set me apart. The one who loves me. The one who back in 1977 made himself known to me and came into my heart and changed me forever and ever and ever. And that same one who I saw and experienced his glory on the night that I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, because he filled that little kitchen where I was kneeling and my hands were before him. I was speaking in a tongue that I didn't know, but I was just completely enamored by the presence and the feeling and the knowing that God was real, that God was with me, that God would talk to me, that God loved me. Who can separate us from that? Tribulation? Nope, not a chance. Distress? Nope. Persecution? Bring it. Famine? And again, I'm not saying, come on, bring me, I want to be persecuted. You'll love this word. I want to be tribulated. Right? I want, you know, I don't want to be naked. I you know, all of that, right? No, I'm not saying that. But if that comes, God will be with me. Walt and Jack, you're here, and I remember years ago they'd sing the song of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? But he was, God was with him in the fire, right? Right, and he was with them, and they didn't burn. It was so hot in there that it killed the people that put him in. It was so hot, but they didn't burn. Who is that fourth man in the furnace? Who is that? Come on, did we just put three in there? But there's another one that's walking around with them, and it seems to be as the Son of God. He looks like something that's different. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the fourth man in your furnace. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Verse 36. For as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long and we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. You just got to put yourself in that position. Bring it, God. Did you know that the persecution came? It doesn't mean that Christians back when the early church was there, the Christians just walked around and they didn't feel anything. When Paul and Silas were in a prison with their backs beaten and their flesh ripped off of their backs and in stocks and in the cold dank with probably all kinds of stuff around them, it doesn't mean they didn't feel the pain. But at midnight, they began to worship. Oh, God, thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. And even in this, God, you have not deserted us. You're for us. And Lord, in fact, it's a privilege to be beaten because I presented you to somebody else. God, and I don't want to get persecution conscious, because sometimes we're persecuted because we're stupid. But on the other hand, right, if somebody persecutes you or calls you names or whatever because you're standing up for Jesus, don't feel sorry for yourself. Begin to thank God that He's given you the place to do that. Shh. Come on. Come on. Come on. Shh. I would love to tell you that, you know, and it seems like sometimes we preach like, you know, you get saved and your everything is going to be a piece of cake from then on. All your troubles will be over. You'll never have a struggle. Listen, that's a lie. That's not true. But here's the deal. The more I can teach you that God is with you, that God is in you, that God is for you, that God will see you through those things and He'll bring you through those things, right? Because all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If I get you to that place, then in the midst of that, you go, listen, as Paul said, he said, these present things, these little itty-bitty things that I'm going through now, don't even compare to the eternal weight of glory that I'm going to walk in because He has already done the work so that I will be with Him. Shh, come on. Come on. I've got to hurry. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now watch. Let's go to verse 37. That's where we started. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Tonight. I don't care what's going on in your life. And it doesn't mean that I don't care about it from the standpoint that I want to be with you. I want to pray you through it. But what I'm saying is it doesn't matter because your position in Christ is secure. Others might have left you and you may even be harvesting some of the seed that you've sown in the past, but all of that really doesn't matter if you get to focus on Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Does He love you tonight? Do you know that He loves you tonight? Then you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. Yeah. Woo, glory to God. More. I'm more. I'm not just a conqueror. I just didn't whip Greg Proback. I didn't beat him just barely. I spotted him 9 points and didn't lose once. Jesus did not lose. He's not going to lose, and you're in Him. Glory to God. Let's finish these last two verses and then we'll close. Glory to God. Verse 38. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 38 again. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded tonight? The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham became fully persuaded that God who promised was able to deliver. See, we have to see ourselves in the light of everything I've said. And even though it may seem too good to be true, we have to become fully persuaded that it's not a fantasy, but it's my reality. Again, because I'm in Christ. Glory to God. Yeah, I'm in Christ. Do I deserve it? No. Outside of Christ, what am I? Nothing. But I'm in Christ, and so are you. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody that's listening tonight or that's going to listen tomorrow. Or Lord, and I just believe, and I'm believing you, Holy Spirit, that even if people tune into YouTube or Facebook for just a few seconds, God, at that right time, you're going to grab their heart and touch them, God. Because I want them to know, I want them to understand that you love them. If you're listening, God loves you. And He wants you to come into a relationship with you. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants to tell you who He is. He wants to show you who He is. And if you'll open up your heart and believe that Jesus is who God said He was, that He was the one who paid for your sins, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Messiah, and that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be right. You'll be brought into His family. If that's you tonight, just pray it. Just talk to God. He'll meet you. He'll change you. It's not about a formula. It's not about a particular way to pray. It's about your heart connecting with God. So just do that tonight. We thank you for visiting us. Father, I just ask you to bless everybody who's listening and watching in this room and over the internet. And God, I thank you that you're doing great things for them. I thank you for your glory becoming even stronger in them. And Father, for us to be motivated to walk with you and in you from this time forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen.